out for you.
You're not helping my panic, Simi.
Oh, she grinned at him. Sorry, the Simi will be silent until it's not time to be silent anymore. Silent, I likes that word. Ever notice some words are just pretty to say?
She beamed like a beautiful doll.
Silent, Simi.
Her face fell as she touched her forefinger to her lower lip and pouted.
Oh, wait, no. The Simi don't like the way that sounds at all. Blah, a silent Simi is not a good thing.
Seem? Caleb grunted. A hand, please.
Good C was trapped in a headlock by the other Caleb. Nick started forward. Good Caleb threw his hand out and stopped him.
Don't get hurt.
I feel like a yo-yo.
Better than what I feel like, buddy. Trust me.
The bad Caleb withdrew from the good one the moment Simi entered the fray. He started for the door, but Simi tossed her hand out and wrapped what appeared to be a sticky rope around him. She reeled him into her like a fisherman ready for some swordfish steak.
Oh, no, Simi said. We can't have that. Where you going, Mr. Meanie Pants? You don't hurt people then run. That's just rude.
She looked back at Caleb.
Can a Simi barbecue him? Or is he on the no see me, no eat list?
Caleb looked at the demon coldly.
Bon appetit, babe.
This time, when Simi smiled, Nick saw that her teeth were serrated and sharp. With a cry of delight, she vanished with the demon in tow. Nick blinked several times as he tried to digest everything that was happening. Simi's a demon.
Yeah.
Simi was a demon. Well, that certainly explained a whole lot of her weirdness away. But still, Nick was aghast. For the record, do I know anyone not a demon or a freak?
Yes, you do. Not sure if Bubba and Mark go into the ladder or not, though. I'm too tired to mentally sort. You figure it out, and I'll go with your Dewey Decimal.
Caleb collapsed on the sofa with a loud groan.
You all right?
Maybe, but my mom will kill you if she sees that blot on her couch. Caleb looked down at the big stain that was spreading across the cushion where he lay.
I'll clean it before I go. I just need to lie here for a minute. You have no idea how much pain I'm in, and...
He narrowed his gaze on Nick.
Who told you?
That was random. Told me what?
About your destiny.
Was he serious?
Dude, you did.
Caleb cursed, then winced.
It wasn't me, Nick. That stupid fringer grabbed me and tossed me into Lataya.
Nick had no idea what he was talking about. Who is that?
Not a person, it's a place. Think of it like a dungeon for demons where your powers get zapped.
A chill went over him as he realized that he'd been spending time with his enemies, and he'd had no clue about it. Yeah, that was terrifying and sobering.
So, when was the last time I spoke to you?
Caleb licked the blood from his lips.
When I pulled you out of the locker and unwrapped you.
Which really sucked, just so you know. You're the one who deserved to be tossed... Nick changed his tone as he saw the deep gashes in Caleb's body. Wounds he'd taken for him. That put everything in perspective and made him feel both bad and grateful. Okay, so... You didn't deserve that, but still, I don't like being tossed inside lockers for future reference, okay?
Duly noted.
Nervous over everything that had happened, Nick paced around the couch. So, what's going on with all of this?
This is what I was trying to tell you, kid. Fringe guards can take any form they want to. It's what makes them so deadly. For that matter, one shouldn't even be able to get into this condo, which is supposed to be protecting you from things like them, and yet...
His eyes flashed to those freak show snake eyes.
Did you invite him in?
I thought I summoned you.
He leaned back with a groan. Nick, we have got to get your powers honed. Your perspicacity is not where it needs to be. I swear I'm going to tie Simi to you until your eyes are open to others. She has the best of anyone I've ever met. No one gets anything over on her.
He'd noticed that, like Remy and the rest of the bears, she hid in plain sight. Where does she come from?
Her people are called Caronti, and they originated in Lemuria, then moved to other places I can't talk about with you.
Why? I just can't, Nick, okay? Now, please, give me a second to lie here in silence and bleed. That was the least he could do, since he was the whole reason Caleb was hurt. You want something to drink?
Human blood would be fabulous, but since I doubt you're donating, let me suffer for a minute longer.
Nick paced back and forth as he tried to understand just how scary his world was now.
No, Nick,
Caleb whispered from behind him.
The world has always been scary. You've just been lucky enough to be shielded from it. It's the saddest part of childhood, really, when that shimmery veil is ripped away by something horrible and you're left with the unvarnished truth. When the world no longer becomes safe and you see the ugly side of it. You, like most humans, fear us demons, but we're not the worst predators out there. You know what we are. It's the ones who lure you in with kindness or who attack from the back. Those are monsters far worse than us. All this time you thought you knew. We all do, but now you have seen.
And I can't take that back. Caleb shook his head. Nick paused to look at him. Were you ever a child?
Very few creatures are lucky enough to be born adult. We all suffer through childhood and adolescence.
Did you enjoy yours? Nick asked, wanting to know.
Parts. But I grew up in a vastly different time and place. You can't even begin to imagine it.
No, he guessed he couldn't. Caleb's eyes returned to their human appearance.
But there was one who was kind to me. Someone who wasn't supposed to have kindness. What I know of it, I learned from him. You should be glad that you've met me after he did. I assure you, the shadow me you dealt with earlier was far kinder than I would have been before.
But you don't want to be my protector.
I never said that.
Your expressions do.
Caleb laughed. You haven't mastered your lessons, boy. You're misreading impatience. I have that with all creatures. I want my freedom. I make no bones about that. It's what I've yearned for these countless centuries, but my freedom would be wasted if I allowed you to be swallowed by the darkness.
You said prophecy couldn't be fought.
Caleb pushed himself up from the couch and cleaned the blood away with a swipe of his hand. Since when do you pay attention in class? And especially Moby Dick?
Nick shrugged. Apparently I do. Who knew?
He sobered as he met Caleb's sinister gaze, and the horrible reality of his future sank in with steely hooks.
Do you think I can be saved?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I'd be off building a really deep bunker.
What if you're right, though? What if I can't fight it?
That's the wrong question, Nick. What if you can?
Chapter 18. It wasn't many people who got inspirational speeches from demons. Nick counted himself lucky in that regard. Or cursed.
Come on, Nick, concentrate.
He supposedly had all these untapped powers just waiting to be carefully unleashed. It was time he learned to use them. Barely 1 hour ago, another 14-year-old had been found murdered only 3 blocks north of Sanctuary. Same style, with the weird emblem around his body. His coach was planning on delivering all their souls up to his boss like the cherry on a special homemade banana split so that he could move on and repeat his offenses again and again. Well, Nick Gaucher was no cherry and he was no fool. Honestly, he didn't know what he was anymore, but he couldn't stand by and let anyone else die or become a victim, not if he could help it. It was time to fight, and fighting was the one thing he understood well.
You can do this!
He clenched his fist tight around the cord and thought as hard as he could. It was useless. Grimm's lessons were more aggravating than helpful. Frustrated, he started to lower his hand, only to feel a warm presence next to him. The room was bathed with a soft, glowing light that seemed to emanate the sensation of a mother's love and acceptance. It was so comforting. He wanted to lose himself in it. Cody appeared by his side, with her feet tucked up under her. You can do this, Nick.
She smiled at him, and his insides danced. Dog, if she wasn't the most beautiful girl he'd ever seen. She always looked so sweet and inviting.
Hi, he whispered, half afraid he was dreaming and that she'd vanish on him.
Her smile widened.
Hi.
Cody knew what her job was. Keep Nick straight or deliver his head on a platter to the powers who commanded her. But every time she looked into those dark blue eyes of his, she lost a part of herself to them. A part of herself to him. He was a hard man not to love. All that power wrapped in the body of someone who was still unsure and vulnerable. Someone who always put others' needs above his own. He wouldn't teach himself his powers to serve his own interests. It was to protect others that he sat here in utter frustration. She closed her hands around his.
You're trying to force it.
I need it to work. Don't have time for bullcrap.
She gave him a chiding glance.
Her brothers had always been like him, too, blindly forcing their way whenever they ran into opposition. You see where that got them. She forced her pain aside. This wasn't about them and the stupidity that had damned them both and ruined all their lives. A stupidity that had almost ended the world. This was about Nick and his current idiocy.
And if you're building a bookcase and you break the nail in half because it won't obey you, what do you have?
Splinters?
She laughed. Indeed.
Nick shivered as she leaned against him and held his hand in hers. She had the softest skin he had ever felt, like warm velvet.
Close your eyes.
Her breath tickled his skin as he obeyed her.
Now, picture in your mind what you want to know, and then listen to the universe as it speaks to you.
He tried, but right now all he could really focus on was how good she felt against him. Oh yeah, I'm twisted.
Are you getting anything?
Yeah, but he wasn't about to go there.
I'm never gonna make this work.
She dropped their entwined hands, then took the hematite into her palm as if to test its heft.
Maybe the pendulum isn't your thing.
What do you mean?
Everyone's different. What works for one doesn't always work for another.
She held her hands out in front of her and cupped them so that they formed a ball in her lap. She whispered in a beautiful language he couldn't decipher, but it was one he could listen to all day, especially with the sweet musical cadence of her voice. As he watched, a strange blue light emanated from her hands. It pulsed like electricity, then swirled around until it began to form a shape. After a minute, the mist became a dark gray, almost black mirror. But the surface wasn't glass. It appeared more iridescent and fluid. She held it out to him.
It's a scrying mirror. Try it.
Still skeptical, he took it into his hands.
What do I do with it? It's a window to the universe. Empty your mind and look into it. It'll show you everything you need to know and everything you seek.
His luck, the only thing it'd show him was that he had something stuck between his teeth. Or worse, something hanging out of his nose. Cringing at the mere thought of that horror, he did as she said. The moment he did, he immediately saw the mirror begin to smoke. He started to drop it, but Cody wouldn't let him.
It's okay, Nick. Watch it.
His skepticism faded as shapes began to take form and move. At first, he couldn't identify them, but one by one, they clarified until he could hear voices in his head. Wow, it was like watching TV or a closed-circuit camera. He saw people he knew and some he didn't. One scene quickly blended into another, shifting and changing so fast it was dizzying. What am I looking at?
Your device.
She put her hands over the images.
This is the one you'll be strongest with. The one that spoke to you the moment you touched it. Your divination gift is scrying, not dowsing.
Finally, he had something he could actually do. Grimm's lessons had begun to make him feel defective and inadequate, but this he understood. The light in the room grew brighter.
Scowling, he met Cody's gaze. Why is the room alive?
It's my shield around us. Since you're unused to your powers, every time you really tap them and they flow through you, you send out a homing beacon to others of our ilk. It's why Caleb threw you in the locker, because you're so strong, preternatural beings are drawn to you. But you don't have the skills to protect yourself or fight them, which means for now, you're their yummy treat. If they kill you while you're weak, they can absorb those powers and use them for themselves.
Oh, goody. That would be bad.
Extremely bad, depending on who kills you.
Those words stabbed him again as his insecurities swallowed him whole. I'm not ready for this.
He looked at her and admitted to her the one thing he'd never admitted to another living soul.
I'm scared, Cody.
You should be. But at the same time, you have me and Caleb and Simi who will do anything to help you. We're not going to let you get hurt.
If only he had the same faith in himself. More than that, he didn't know whom he could really trust. Everyone told him to trust someone else. His gut had its own opinion, and all of it confused him.
How do you handle all of this? He asked her, needing to know how long it would take for him to feel normal again. I was born knowing who and what I am. You're like an infant who just became self-aware. While you're talking and walking, you still don't know that the hot burner will scar you or that knives will cut you. You have to be taught the dangers of our world, the predators and serpents who lie in wait, hoping for a chance to sink their fangs into you.
She put both his hands on the mirror.
You're stronger than anyone I've ever known, Nick, and I believe in you.
When she talked like that, he could almost believe in himself, too. Squeezing her hand, he took the mirror from her and studied it again. He saw his own reflection at first, and then the images returned. They appeared shadowy and ambiguous, then more focused, with more clarity. It took him a full minute to realize he was staring at the past. As Cody had said, it was as if he were watching through a window or like the proverbial fly on the wall. He saw Divas in an old Victorian suit sitting at a large round table in what appeared to be an office of some sort with several men who were laughing at him.
Second best is all you'll ever be, Walter. You might as well accept it.
Divas curled his lip. I assure you, Theodore, we'll win the game. You can bet your millions on it. Theodore flicked his cigar ash toward Divas as he cast a scoffing glance at the others.
You were ever a dreamer, my boy. Ever a dreamer.
The older man got up and motioned for the others to follow, which they did. Their actions reminded him of a group of puppies following their leader. Divas was so upset, he appeared on the verge of tears. All of a sudden, he began to throw things and overturn the furniture in the room. He ripped leather-bound books from their shelves and tore at his own hair.
I will win, he ground out between clenched teeth. If I have to kill every player on the team to do it, I will win.
When he went to smash the mirror on the wall, he froze. There, gazing at him, was his own reflection, but with a calm expression, not the crazed one he currently wore.
Did you mean what you said? It asked him.
He set down the marble paperweight he'd intended to toss at the glass.
About what?
Will you kill every player to win? He sputtered for several seconds, his eyes truly panicked.
Who are you?
I'm someone who can make it happen. But I need to know if you're quite serious. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time, and that is one thing I will never do.
The image started to fade.
No, wait! When it returned with an arched brow, Divas licked his lips.
I meant it.
Then prove it.
How?
If you are serious, I'll need a heart brought to me, one freshly carved from the body of a 14-year-old child.
Divas gasped in horror.
No, I can't.
Too bad, then. The satisfaction of winning will go to another. The image went away.
Come back!
It didn't. Divas sat there, shaking his head, pawing at the glass to see if maybe he'd imagined it. I've gone crazy. I know it, and yet... Nick could see the gears working in Divas's mind as he debated what to do. He couldn't believe the coach would even consider it. Was the man insane? He had to be. The smoke from his scrying mirror swirled again as it showed other images. Horrific images. Appalled and sickened, Nick turned his head as the coach stalked an innocent girl who was making her way home after work from a factory job. In a dark alley in downtown Atlanta, the coach cruelly strangled her, then removed her heart. For a moment, he thought he'd vomit. How could anyone be so cold, so brutal? Any sympathy he might have had for Divas was gone, and in its place was a harsh, cold conviction. Divas had taken his last life. This madness was going to stop here and now. Cody watched as Nick struggled not to be sick, as he kept his head turned away from the grisly actions of the coach. That gave her hope. He wasn't curious or interested in the brutality at all. His was horrified and disgusted, as any normal person would be. In fact, he didn't watch again until the coach had returned to the mirror with the girl's heart inside a wooden box, and even then, Nick cringed. Please let me save you, Nick. Please. Stay like this so that I won't have to kill you. She had enough blood on her hands. She didn't want any more. She turned her attention back to the coach as he made a bargain he should never have made. Divas opened the lid to show his enchanted mirror what he'd done. There was no missing the proud glint in his eye, the hopeful swagger of a man who will achieve his goal at any cost. Is this good enough? The image in the mirror smiled. Perfect. Better than I'd hoped. Then tell me what to do to win. You will have to gather a single, very personal item from each one of the players. The image in the mirror reached out with an arm and held out a red velvet bag to Divas. Put their items into this. Divas took the bag and nodded as the arm curled back into the mirror. Then what? You will burn wormwood and arsenic mixed with basil and cedar. Put those ashes in the bag with your player's personal items, and then at 3 a.m. on the morning when you're to play, you will spread them over the heart you made sacrifice. So long as you keep the box with you for the whole of the day, you will be invincible. Nothing can harm you, and no bad luck will befall you. Your team will play as they've never played before, and you will be victorious. You swear this to me? I do. But don't be so happy, coach, for this all comes with a steep price. Divas's brow furrowed with confusion. I've already killed a girl. What more is there? The mirror image tisked at him. Her heart is only the catalyst for your players to do their best. That has nothing to do with your payment. He swallowed in trepidation. And that is? Your life. His face went completely white. What? You will have fame, coach, just as you wanted. A brilliant win over your opponents. I'll even be kind and give you an evening to bask in that victory. But come noon the next day, you and your players must die together. Imagine the news coverage then. Oh, the tragedy of champions dying on the heels of their great success. You'll be legendary. Over and over again. Divas gulped heavily. That's not what I want. I didn't sign on for that. There was no pity in the mirror's eyes. Yes, you did. You should have asked the terms before you made your contract. Have you never been told to read the fine print? Divas's hands shook uncontrollably. It's not fair! Life never is. But don't despair. Unlike your players, you won't stay dead. What do you mean? That is your bargain, Walter. So long as you gather souls for me, I won't take yours. However, if you fail to deliver the winning team to me by noon, you will suffer unimaginable torment for the rest of eternity. Do you understand? He nodded.
Good. Now, be a good boy, and don't lose your heart.
Nick pulled back from the scene with his stomach knotted and his fury hot. How dare the coach make a pact like that? And for what? Vanity? He'd never understand it. Cody sighed, drawing his attention to her. Well, now we know how he started.
Nick started to respond to that, but before he could, images began playing through his head. They came fast and furious, as they'd done in the mirror, and just as in the mirror, he had no control over them. It made him dizzy and nauseated. Oh, the pain! Gasping, he lay on the floor and pressed the heel of his hand to his eye, trying to alleviate some of the misery. It felt as if his brain would literally explode.
Nick?
Cody sucked her breath in sharply as she watched him convulse on the floor. What was happening? What should she do? She didn't sense him being under attack by anything, and yet that's what he acted like. Had she accidentally unleashed something on him? The very thought terrified her.
Nick?
She tried again. Again, he didn't respond. She thickened her protection in the room just in case. It was so tight now nothing could breach it. She pulled Nick's head into her lap and held him, hoping whatever had him would let go. Nick heard the girl's voice in his head.
Julianne.
She was talking to him in a tone that sounded like Maddox's little brother.
Free me,
she begged him.
Please, I don't want to hurt anyone else. I want to go to my rest and be left alone. Why won't he go away? It's been so long and I'm so very tired.
It was the girl Divas had murdered. She... Something thick and warm went through his veins. It wasn't like the other times when his powers had seized him. This was different. For once, he felt like he had control of it, like he could channel and direct it. Closing his eyes, he tried to focus. Cody gasped and pulled away as she saw an orange aura engulf Nick's entire body. It was a demon's essence, and it made the hair on the back of her neck rise. When he opened his eyes to look up at her, they were no longer blue. They were a vibrant lavender, the kind that didn't belong to a human.
You have to teach me how to raise the dead.
His voice was low and deep and sounded nothing like the Nick she knew. She blinked twice as her mind wrapped itself around his request.
It's forbidden.
His voice calmed down to its normal cadence as he pushed himself up to face her.
No, it's not. It's ill-advised. But the only way to stop this is to let the girl confront her killer. She wants to be free, and I think we should let her.
Cody shook her head.
We can't do that, Nick. You're not strong enough, and you have no idea what doors that will open. Doors that don't shut easily.
She's lying to you.
Nick groaned as an unfamiliar voice filled his head.
Who are you?
It didn't say, but he'd felt it, and honestly, he was tired of having Grand Central Station for a head. People, things, animals, keep out. The station was closed for business. Go haunt somewhere else. Cody put her hand on his forehead to check for a fever.
I'm Cody. Are you all right?
He gave her a no-duh look.
I wasn't talking to you. I hear voices in my head.
What does it sound like?
He struck himself against his ear in an effort to try to clear it.
I can't explain it exactly. My powers are slipping. I can feel them.
His words ended with a fierce groan as his insides twisted until he couldn't breathe. Cody panicked as she saw his eyes changing again. His skin was marbling and swirling. She had to do something fast or she'd lose him.
Look at me, Nick!
He ignored her. She had to calm him down and force those powers to recede, get his thoughts to focus on something other than his pain. With no better thought, she kissed him. Nick shuddered at the sensation of Cody's mouth on his, and as he tasted those full, soft lips, an inexplicable calm came over his entire being. He felt like he was floating. Cupping her face in his hands, he let the warmth of her mouth soothe him
until he could think straight again. In one act, she'd cured his headache and grounded him back in this reality. Pulling back, he stared down at her.
"Thank you."
She inclined her head.
"Anytime. Now, can you explain to me what you heard?"
"No, not really. At first it was the murdered girl, Julianne." She appeared less than convinced.
"Are you sure it was her?"
"What do you mean?"
"It's extremely simple for a demon to appear as a dead person. It takes very little energy, and it's an easy way to motivate people to do things. Go to someone in the guise of a loved one or child, and they'll do most anything you bid them. Think of it like a cheat code."
Nick didn't care for the thoughts of that, but at least he understood what she was getting at.
"You're right, she could have been lying. But I don't think so. One thing I've learned in my life is that nothing is ever easy. And the mirror Divas thing even warned him not to lose the girl's heart. I'm telling you, Cody, the key to this is the girl whose death started it."
He could see the reluctance in her eyes before she banished it.
"You're right. In order to undo things, you usually have to go where they started. But..."
"But what?"
"You're talking about necromancy, Nick. That's not something to play with. And it's not something you learn in a few hours or days. Necromancers are a different breed entirely."
"How so?"
"To do what they do, they lose a part of their soul every time. And you were talking about the darkest part of evil. It's not just the reanimation of the vessel, making the body move again. You have to reunite the soul, which means you're ripping that soul out of wherever it's gone to. And if it's been reborn, I don't think anything or anyone can touch it. But again, I don't know. I don't go there for real good reasons."
He gave her an adorable look. "But you know someone who does." She remained firm in her conviction to avoid this catastrophe.
"No, I don't."
"But you know someone who knows someone." His persistence was as annoying as it was playful and cute. Ugh! She was the train derailing, and there was nothing she could do to stop it. If she knew anything about Nick, it was that he was stubborn. There was no way she could sway him from this.
"We both know that someone. Come on, grab your jacket and let's go to Caleb's."
Pacing in front of his giant marble foyer, which was so elaborate it made Kyrian's look like a pauper's, Caleb glared at Nick and then Cody. "Are you out of your collective minds? I swear I can't leave you two alone for 3 seconds that you don't go off and hurt yourselves." He narrowed his gaze on Nick. "I expect stupid out of you, but you," he turned on Cody then, "know better."
She shrugged helplessly. "I tried to tell him that. He won't listen to me. Tag, you're it."
Facing Nick, Caleb gestured toward her. "Listen to her, Nick."
Nick wasn't trying to be difficult. He wasn't. He understood their panic and concerns, and he was grateful for it. But he knew what he'd seen and heard.
"You two listen to me for once. While I may not be as well versed in this as you are, I do know what I saw. You two and everyone else keep telling me to learn my powers."
"Ah, learn my powers,"
he imitated a parrot before he continued on in his normal tone. "And then when I do, you tell me I don't know what I'm talking about." He slung his hands out in frustration. "Fine, you win, I quit. You two deal with this, I'm going home, packing up all my personal items, and when you, Caleb, end up dead because the coach has your jock strap or something else I didn't steal but someone else did, don't call me. I'm done, and I'm going to hide in a bunker until all of this is over with." He started for the door, but the moment he reached it, it locked in his face.
"I hate you, Nick," Caleb drawled. "Feels mutual, demon."
With a sigh of irritation, Caleb turned to Cody.
"Do you really think this is wise?"
"Not at all. But I have no better idea, do you?"
I feel like I'm about to enter a Monty Python skit, Caleb muttered as he pulled out his phone and then dialed it. He glared at them while it rang and rang and rang. Grimacing at the delay, Nick looked at Cody. Did necromancers not have voicemail? She shrugged.
Hey,
Caleb said, finally.
It's Malphus.
Yeah,
been a long time, and I need a favor. How far are you from New Orleans?
Nick could hear a deep voice on the other end, but he couldn't make out any individual words.
All right. I'll see you then.
Caleb hung up the phone and continued to glare at them.
He'll be here in a few hours.
Where's he coming from? Nick asked.
Wouldn't say, and I know better than to pry.
He rubbed the line of his eyebrow.
You two better know what you're doing.
Cody turned on Nick then. For the record, Nick, using the mirror shouldn't scare you. This should. Stop complaining, I know, all right? I've either made a huge mistake or ended this. Instead of expending our energy on so much negativity, why don't we do something positive?
Like what, pull the arms off Nick until he cries like a girl?
Cody laughed. Needless to say, Nick didn't find Caleb amusing.
Thanks for selling me out. I haven't done that yet, but the night's still young.
And they had school tomorrow. Nick checked his watch. Crap. I need to head back home. Caleb contradicted him.
I don't think that's a good idea. Any chance your mom would let you stay over for the night?
If I tell her we're studying, she might.
Caleb scoffed. We are studying. Ways to survive the next few hours. It's a really important subject, too.
Nick couldn't agree more. Pulling out his phone, he called his mom, who was still on the clock at Sanctuary. Hey, baby, what you need?
Can I spend the night over at Caleb's house? We're working on a project together, and I need more time.
Nick, her voice was full of irritation.
You know I don't like for you to do that on a school night.
I know, Mom, and I wouldn't ask if it wasn't really, really, really important, please. She made a noise at him.
Fine. Don't forget to brush your teeth.
I won't.
Call me if you need me.
I will.
All right. Tell me you love me and I'll let you go.
His face turned red hot as he gave Caleb and Cody his back.
I love you,
he whispered. She made a kissing sound at him before she hung up. Nick passed a sullen glare to Caleb. Not one word.
Wouldn't dream of it. And I have to say that I'm impressed.
By what?
Your mom didn't grill us this time.
Nick snorted. That's 'cause she already did that and you passed. Be grateful. Cody swung her arms in front and behind her body so that she could clap her hands together. So, gentlemen, what are we going to do for the next few hours? Nick smiled as he had a brilliant idea. Hey, Caleb, any chance you have a system and some games lying around in this sprawling mansion of yours?
You know it. Name it, and I have it.
Nick was in the middle of owning Caleb for the 3,000th time when the doorbell suddenly rang. All three of them jumped out of their skins. Cody covered her heart with her hand.
Guess that's our friend.
Caleb used his powers to flash himself downstairs to let him in. Nick took the more human route and walked through the house until he reached the landing that looked down below. From the way Caleb and Cody had carried on, he'd expected some huge, hulking, long-coat-wearing brute of a mountain man to appear. But the guy who strode inside was anything but. Dressed in a pair of loose-fitting olive-green cargo pants and a thin black t-shirt, he appeared extremely normal. His hair was a little long and a lot of shaggy, but the brown waves with the blonde highlights were fashionable enough. He had his hands in his pockets, and a dark brown canvas messenger bag was slung across his body. As Nick headed down the stairs, he realized that the guy also had on a pair of worn-out Birkenstocks and a thin braided anklet of green thread. While he had good muscle definition, he was more lean than beefy. Still, he was a typical man in his late 20s to early 30s with mirrored aviator sunglasses and an unassuming air about him. At least, until Nick drew closer. Then, everything changed.
You could feel the power emanating from him like an overcharged battery. Nick even swore he could hear the hum of it. And that wasn't the only thing to make a brave man run. He was covered with scars and burn marks and tattoos, like a combat vet who'd been tortured by his enemies. Nick hesitated. Caleb cleared his throat before he introduced them.
Xenon, meet Nick Gaucher.
Xenon? What kind of name is that?
The only kind I answer to.
His voice was deep and gravelly, like he didn't use it often. And as Nick closed the distance, Xenon approached him with a scowl. He raked his body slowly from top to bottom, not in a rude way, but in a very thorough one.
Aren't you an enigma wrapped in a thick coating of contradictions?
Don't eat the help, X. We need him.
Pity.
Xenon reached up and pulled his sunglasses off and then put them in a case. As he did that, Nick saw the tattoos on his hand. His left knuckles each carried one letter that spelled easy. His right spelled hard. Nick laughed. Cool tattoo. Does it have any special meaning?
Pray you never find out.
Ignoring Nick, he turned his attention to Caleb.
What's the situation?
Nick drifted back to where Cody stood on the bottom stair. She had her arms crossed over her chest, letting him know how uncomfortable she was. She didn't say it, but he could hear it loud and clear in her body language. He creeps me out.
So how long will it take you to set up?
Caleb asked.
2 days.
You have one.
You can't rush me, Malphus. It's more an art than a science. And if I screw this up, you know the consequences.
Yeah, still having flashbacks.
Flashbacks? I'm still having therapy.
Xenon's tone was flat and dry.
Where can I set up?
Caleb led him to the study on the right side of the front door. While they did whatever they were doing, Nick turned to face Cody. What exactly are we? She lifted a quizzical brow. We who? You and me. She fell silent for a few minutes as she thought it over. I honestly don't know. I like you. A lot. But we shouldn't be so familiar.
You're the one who keeps kissing me.
Her face flamed bright red. I know. I've got to stop tripping and falling on your mouth all the time.
Ah, so that's what it was.
She wrinkled her nose. Of course it was. Glad you told me. Now I know. As he started away from her, she pulled him to a stop. Let's just take this one day at a time, Nick. See where it takes us.
I'm young. I'm good with that.
He fell to his knees, whimpering.
I'm going to die old and alone. Every loser in high school has a girl but me. Why? Why?
Are you off your medication? Nick winked at her as he stood back up. I must be. Because I've been hallucinating all day long. She shook her head and started for him, but she'd taken only a step when something slammed into the front door. They exchanged a bemused scowl while Caleb came out of his study to answer it. The moment the door was opened, a swarm of demons burst in and attacked. Chapter 19. The demons came into Caleb's like locusts, swarming them and pinning them to the floor. Nick couldn't move without being mobbed by them, and the same was true of Cody and Caleb.
What kind of bachelor party are you throwing, Malphus?
Xenon asked.
Feel free to join us.
Caleb was trying as hard to break free as Nick and Cody were. It was useless.
We're dead.
Nick looked at Cody, wanting to memorize the beauty of her face in case they didn't have women so lovely where he was headed. Neither of them bothered to contradict him. There was no need. The demons sat on his chest, banging his head against the floor so hard he was amazed it didn't split open. Same for Cody and Caleb. They fought with everything they had, but it wasn't enough to even hurt their attackers. The demons swarmed together and lifted them up as if they were about to fly them somewhere. Just as Nick was convinced they wouldn't survive, Xenon came out of the study, like the Terminator. He sprinkled something into the air that acted like acid, especially when he shot fireballs out of his hands that ignited it. As soon as it hit their attackers, they shrieked and flew off.
Chasing them out of the house and down the driveway, Xenon spoke in a calm, soothing voice while he fought them. It was an impressive feat, one Nick would love to learn, but yelling out obscenities and sarcasm was more his style. Once they were gone, Xenon came in and locked their doors. He grimaced at Caleb.
"Thought you said this place was safe."
"Apparently I was mistaken."
"Good job."
Caleb flipped him off for the sarcasm. Then he looked over at Nick. "That was an assassination crew. Somehow they knew you were here." That news made him sick to his stomach. "Do we need to go protect my mom?" Xenon shook his head.
"They don't follow like humans. They're more like basset hounds. We were attacked because they blood-tracked their target here."
"Crap. What if my scent leads them to my house and my mom's there alone?"
"Calm down. Again, they don't work that way. They can track only a current scent, not a lingering one. Unless you've bathed in perfume so strong it leaves a heavy lasting impression, you're safe."
He glanced over to Cody. "I resent that look, and I don't wear perfume."
"Just checking."
Caleb limped over to Xenon.
"Now you know why we have to hurry. Can you have us something by tomorrow?" "I'll work on it all night."
"Thanks." Xenon inclined his head to Caleb before he went back to the office. Caleb let out a weary sigh.
"I'm going to bed. If anyone else attacks tonight, feed them Nick and tell them to go away."
"Hey!" But Caleb ignored him as he left them alone. "I think I'm gonna turn in too." She kissed his cheek. "Don't stay up too much later, otherwise I'll be worrying about you."
"I won't be long behind you."
"All right." She headed up the stairs to the guest wing. The fact that Caleb had wings said it all about how sick his house was. Nick waited until they were gone before he went to the study to spy on their newcomer.
"You might as well come in, Nick. I can't stand someone at my back."
Nick pushed the door open wider and walked into the office that had wood paneling from floor to ceiling. Even though it had a desk and a chair, it was sparsely decorated and had a lot of space in it. Xenon had laid out all his supplies and was combining things into a small black iron pot in front of him. In a weird way, he reminded Nick of a chef, graceful and sure, as if the recipe was forever etched into his memory.
"So, what are you doing?" "I'm creating an elixir that will protect me when I summon this girl back for you."
"Do you think my plan will work?" Xenon shrugged.
"Not an expert on that kind of thing. You will either fail or succeed. One or the other is a given."
"Huh." Nick wandered closer. "So how did you get into this line of work, anyway?" Xenon glanced askance at him as he added a green leafy thing to the pot.
"Answered an ad in the paper."
"Did you?" Xenon didn't respond.
"Actually, kid, I need you for a second."
"Why?"
"I have an ingredient I need from you."
Nick didn't like the sound of that at all. "Come again?"
"Get over here."
Not sure about that, he did what Xenon said, even though he felt like he should be running in the opposite direction. As soon as he was within arm's reach, Xenon grabbed him in a G.I. Joe kung fu death grip and laid open his hand with a blade. Nick hadn't known Xenon had until he was bleeding.
"Don't pull back."
He held Nick in place to let his blood drip into the pot.
"That's not sanitary, ooh!"
"Ooh is right, but trust me, you'll be glad you have this."
"Not at the moment." As soon as he was free, Nick ran out of the room and retreated to the guest room Caleb had made for him. He practically jumped into the rice plantation bed that was elevated from the floor. Without pausing, he climbed under the covers and returned to nursing his throbbing hand. He blew air across his palm, trying to stop the stinging, until the wound knitted itself closed. His jaw slack, Nick stared at the scar that was right where his cut had been. Yeah, that was strange.
"Go to sleep. Don't think about it."
But it was hard not to.
"Come on, body, cooperate."
He had a busy day tomorrow, and he needed to be fresh and alert, especially since he'd be taking down the coach. Nick entered the school with Cody on his right and Caleb on his left. Heads turned as the three of them walked shoulder to shoulder to his locker. Dropping his backpack on the floor, Nick opened his padlock.
"All right,
The challenge is to find the box with the heart in it. We'll be looking.
Cody headed off toward her homeroom. Caleb clapped Nick on the back before he took off, too.
While Nick swapped out his books, Stone shouldered his way to him.
What's that? A new shirt gaucher? Don't tell me Goodwill's out of tacky.
He was referring to the fact that Nick had been forced to borrow one of Caleb's black shirts for school today, since he hadn't packed an overnight bag.
Grow up, Stone.
Stone went to shove him. Nick dodged with a skill he'd never had before. In fact, he could see every strike Stone was going to make an instant prior to Stone's doing it. He had to force himself not to strike the oaf. But if he did, he'd get suspended.
You're not worth the paperwork, Stone.
Nick picked his backpack up and left him standing in the hallway to sputter.
Yeah, that felt good. Real good.
And he'd take longer to savor it, but right now he was on a quest. Something that had him skipping study hall so that he could search Devis's office while the coach taught. This time, he was a lot more cautious about breaking in. He slipped into the room and pulled his pendulum out.
All right, baby, work for Daddy.
He drew a quick sketch of the room on a page in his book.
Where is the heart box?
At first, nothing happened. Nick tightened his grip, ready to scream, when all of a sudden, the pendulum finally began to swing for him.
Ah, baby, thank you.
He watched as it formed a large circle around the room model. After a few seconds, it narrowed down to the desk.
Right side?
He asked. It swung to yes. Delighted, he kissed the pendulum and slid it into his pocket. Nick opened drawers and nothing was there. The stupid thing had lied. He was so mad he wanted to hurl it into the Pontchartrain, but he didn't.
Trust it.
Ambrose's voice had never been louder. With a deep breath, Nick searched the drawers again. And again, it was nothing. But he realized that the drawers looked a lot deeper on the outside than they did on the inside. There was a false bottom. His heart hammering, it didn't take long to find the panel and open it. Sure enough, there was the same box he'd seen in the mirror. Excited and scared, he quickly put everything back the way it had been and tucked the box inside his backpack. With ninja-like skills, he crept out and away from the office without being detected. As soon as he was clear, he called Caleb and Cody to update them on the status of Operation Payback. Nick had barely reached his class when he heard his name being called over the intercom.
Ms. Turtledove, would you please have Nick Gaucher report to the gym? Coach Devis wants to see him about an urgent matter.
Panic seized him. Did he know? Had Nick left something out of place? I'm an idiot. Sweat broke out on his forehead as he returned to the coach's office. He pushed open the door to see Devis sitting with his hand in the drawer he'd just rifled through.
You have it, Gaucher?
Have what?
He growled at him.
Don't play coy with me, you little punk. You know what I'm talking about. Hand it over. Now.
Nuh-uh. He wasn't about to return the box to him. Terrified, he glanced around, wondering if he could remember everything Xenon had taught him.
Where is the next set of items?
Nick let out a relieved breath as his fear subsided.
I didn't get anything else yet.
What?
Nick shrugged.
Sorry. Between class, homework, football practice, and work, I haven't had 5 minutes to myself.
Devis shot to his feet.
How dare you? You'll pay for this. By the end of the day,
yeah, I don't think so.
He used his thoughts to summon Cody and Caleb.
In fact, I want the items I stole back so I can return them.
You can't have them.
Trying not to be obvious, Nick attempted to make a circle on the floor with drops of the potion. The coach grabbed him and yanked him hard.
What are you doing?
ADD. I have such a hard time holding still. Can't help myself.
Maybe prison will be able to help you out with that.
You think?
Nick asked sarcastically.
Tell you what. How about I send you to where you belong, and you die quietly and leave us alone?
The coach grabbed him by the throat.
It's gonna be a pleasure to ruin you, Trailer Park.
It's gonna be a pleasure to banish you, Bates Motel.
Nick kneed him. Releasing him, the coach doubled over to cup himself. Cody popped in a heartbeat before Caleb joined the party. As soon as the coach saw Caleb, he cursed.
You?
You're supposed to be dead.
Caleb appeared as confused as Nick felt.
What?
The coach clapped his hands together and summoned his demons again. Cody vanished.
Hey! Caleb snapped. Not a good time to get scared.
He and Nick put their backs together to battle them. Nick glanced over to the cameras. How long do you think it'll take before the office sends security?
Eternity, Divas answered. I made sure they can't see anything that goes on down here. Now I'm going to offer you both as a sacrifice to my master.
Caleb pulled his sword out of thin air. Nick pulled his out of his pocket. No bigger than a pocket knife, it looked harmless, until he closed his eyes and imagined it larger. It immediately shot to full size, and the moment it did, Divas gasped.
You're the Malachi, not Caleb!
He gestured to his demon army.
Get them both, but bring me the Malachi's sword!
They descended on them in one fierce wave. Nick sliced the first one to reach him in half. He ducked the blow from the next one and went low to the ground. Popping to his feet, he was able to stab the next one who approached him. Nick trusted his sword and it whispered to him what to do. With its help, he fought like he'd been born to it. But they were still being overrun just by the sheer numbers of their attackers. He was growing weak, and Caleb wasn't much better. Nick slipped on a bloodstain that forced him down to one knee. In this position, he was at a major disadvantage.
I'm going to die.
His sword was getting heavier and heavier. He wouldn't last much longer. Just as he felt his arm give way, Cody appeared, with Xenon at her side. She tossed him the backpack with the heart box in it before she ran to them.
Nice to leave us here, Caleb snapped.
We needed a cavalry.
Caleb glanced over at Xenon.
When's he gonna help?
Xenon yanked the box out of the backpack.
Right now.
He started chanting. Nick continued to fight as one demon caught him with a kick straight to his solar plexus.
Ah, man, that hurt. If he didn't know better, he'd swear it just kicked his ribs out of his back.
More demons arrived.
Something's not right.
Nick scowled in Xenon's direction. Dude, not a phrase I want to hear right now, really?
Want to or not, Xenon muttered in a calmness Nick's panic didn't warrant. This isn't working.
What do you mean it's not working?
Xenon jerked Nick away from the next attack wave that Cody and Caleb engaged.
Are you sure you gave me something personal from the coach?
Yeah, it was a picture of him when he was human.
I need something closer to him than that, something that matters.
The coach laughed at them.
There's nothing I care about, nothing at all. You're all gonna die.
Cody cried out as she went down and was swarmed. Caleb yelped as a demon sank its teeth into his shoulder. Divas was right. They were about to lose. Refusing to believe it, Nick cast his gaze around the office, looking for something, anything, that was personal to the troll. Everyone cared about something. Damn the stupid coach. Was it too much to ask that he at least make a grocery list? Why couldn't...
Nick's thought ended as he remembered an important detail. Smiling, he reached into his back pocket and jerked out the handwritten list of items the coach wanted stolen.
He handed it to Xenon.
We're back in business.
Xenon quickly shredded it and added it to the box. He started chanting again. Divas finally took his attention off the fight to see what Xenon was doing. His face blanched as he saw the box.
Nick,
Xenon called.
You're on.
Nick stabbed the demon in front of him, then rushed to the circle he'd created. Summoning his powers, he imagined the girl so that Xenon could pick her out. Together, they left the human realm and descended into an abyss so dark it was painful to be there. Xenon put a comforting hand on his shoulder.
What was her name again?
Julianne.
Julianne!
Xenon shouted.
Can you hear us?
Nick sensed her presence. Most of all, he sensed her fear.
It's me, Julianne. I'm here to help you.
She appeared in front of Nick.
Will you save me?
He held his hand out to her.
Come with me and we can take back your heart.
She placed her hand into his.
The moment their skin touched, they were sucked through a vortex and dumped back into the coach's office.
Nick caught Julianne against him as they landed to keep her from falling over. The moment she appeared, the demons shrieked and disintegrated. Divas shrank back as soon as he saw her.
No! It's not possible!
Julianne pointed an accusatory finger at him.
How dare you keep me trapped all these years? You had no right to do what you did. No right!
And in that moment, Nick knew just the right punishment for him. Changing the words of his chant, he didn't banish Divas. No, not at all. He swapped the coach's life force with Julianne's. Divas screamed as he was sucked into the vortex. His screams were swallowed whole. Meanwhile, Julianne was bathed in a bright orange glow, one that danced from her fingertips into the box where her heart lay. The heart glowed an instant and then dissolved. Julianne threw her head back and gasped as it was put back inside her. Tears sprang to her eyes. Breathless, she stared at Nick in wonderment.
How did you do it?
He swept his gaze around Cody, Caleb, and Xenon. No idea whatsoever. Laughing, she threw her arms around his neck and hugged him close.
You are my hero. Thank you. A thousand thank yous.
A guy could get used to this. Minus the bloody nose and aching bruises that were making it hard to breathe while she held him like this. Not to mention he caught a venomous glare from Cody that said she didn't appreciate Julianne mauling him.
Julianne, I can't breathe. Can you let go?
She released him immediately and wiped away her tears. But no sooner had she done that than a bright flash of thunder shook the windows of the office. It clapped so loud it caused them to stagger. Out of nowhere, a huge, well, it had the body of a horse, face of a lion that had met the business end of a shovel, and the tail of a goat. Man, that was some messed up DNA there. It snarled at them.
How dare you destroy my...
His words trailed off as he saw Nick. He started toward him. Xenon stepped between them, cutting off his access to Nick.
Stand down, Triss. This one doesn't belong to you.
Triss spat on the ground at Xenon's feet.
We're not finished, you and I. I'll be back. I know. I can smell you already.
Triss vaporized. Nick pointed to the lingering mist. What was that? Xenon shrugged.
I'm not just a necromancer. I have a few other jobs, too.
Caleb held his hand out in that Jedi mind-wipe manner. Don't ask, Nick. He won't answer. Nick held his hands up and ceded the point to Caleb. Hey, we're all fed. None of us are dead. It's a good day from where I'm standing. Xenon shook his head, then glanced at Caleb over his shoulder.
I'll be expecting payment later.
It'll be there. You're the one person I'd never dare cheat.
Until next time.
Xenon literally flashed out of the room. Nick sputtered. Where'd he go?
Not just a necromancer,
Cody and Caleb said in unison.
What an amazing world this is.
Julianne breathed as she discovered the light switch and kept turning it off and on. Cody put her hands on her hips as she curled her lip. Caleb laughed.
Tuck your claws in, kitten. I'll take care of getting our girl home.
He sighed heavily.
I better not get detention for this. If I do, Gaucher, it's coming out of your hide.
What else is new? Caleb and Julianne vanished. Where's he taking her? Back to where she lived before Divas killed her? Nick widened his eyes as disbelief poured through him. Can he do that? Yes, he can. Chalk up another wicked power for Caleb. Who knew? Exhausted but relieved, Nick leaned back against the desk. Cody moved to stand by his side.
Is this what I have to look forward to?
She laughed.
You know, the Chinese have a curse.
And that is?
May you live in interesting times.
Nick would laugh if you weren't so worried about just how interesting things were going to get. He used to look forward to the future. Now, He wasn't so sure he was going to have one.
Don't look so glum.
Cody kissed the tip of his nose. Then she pulled a small leather band out of her pocket and tied it to his wrist. Nick frowned at her actions.
What's this?
He turned it around until he saw that it had her name on it.
You're no longer the only freshman without a girlfriend.
And with that, she flounced out of the room. Nick's heart thumped at what she'd just done.
Holy shnikes.
Well, if this was the reward, maybe getting pounded by demons wasn't so bad after all.
Yeah, I am definitely sick in the head.
Well, what news do you have?
Our corruptor is in place, and is one the young Malachi now trusts.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. Gaucher will be turned, and soon we will be free.
Free. The most glorious of all words. And when they were free, the blood of man would flow down the paved streets like rivers.
Epilogue. 6 weeks later. Nick sat on the stoop of their new home on Bourbon Street, taking a rest from helping his mom unpack their meager belongings. The scent of gumbo and crawfish wafted down from the restaurants, along with the faint sounds of jazz and zydeco, of tourists laughing and shouting. While their new apartment would be considered huge only compared to their former condo, he at least had his own bedroom this time, one with actual walls and an actual bed that Kirian had given him as a birthday present. The new place was clean, with running hot water, and everything worked. Best of all, the sadness was gone out of his mother's eyes. She had a pride to her now that he'd never seen in her before, that made everything worthwhile to him. But he still wanted more. His gaze went to the huge gray house across the street that had a wraparound porch trimmed with ornate black wrought iron. That was where he wanted to live.
Don't worry, kid. You will.
He glanced to his right to see Ambrose walking toward him. He curled his lip in disgust, still angry at him for the way he'd abandoned them when they needed him. How do you know? He asked belligerently. Ignoring his venom, Ambrose smiled.
I just do. And it won't be long until you and your mom are hanging your baby pictures on the stairs of that very house.
Funny thing was, he could see it clear as a bell in his mind. Ever since Cody had given him his scrying mirror, his second sight kept getting better every day. Not that it mattered right now. I'm still angry with you for not helping us with the coach. That was so wrong of you.
And yet you survived. You needed that experience, Nick. It gave you a confidence you didn't have before.
Yeah, right. That rated right up there with the old, this is gonna hurt me more than it does you bullcrap. Don't give me that psychobabble garbage about how it forced me to grow as an individual and that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. I don't want to hear it. You tell me I can trust you, and then you're just as quick to walk out as my father was. Is this some inherited genetic defect I need to know about? Am I gonna walk out on my kid, too? His expression turned dark. Deadly.
No, you'll never do that.
Nick rolled his eyes as Ambrose brushed back his hair from his face with his left hand. His heart stopped as he realized something. No. No way. It couldn't be. Holding his breath, Nick reached up and took Ambrose's hand into his. Oh my God. Ambrose had the same exact scar Xenon had given him when he'd cut his palm for blood. A scar that Ambrose hadn't had the times he'd seen him before.
We hope you enjoyed Invincible. Text copyright 2011 by Sherilyn Kenyon. Production copyright 2011 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.